Hello, church family. Pastor Dave here. It is so good to be with you online today. Thanks for joining. Today, Pastor Aaron is going to finish up the series on 2 Timothy, and then next week we'll be rolling out a new series, Conversations with Jesus, that'll take us right through June into July. Should be a great time. And we pray that each of these Sundays, especially today, is an incredible blessing to you and your family and just uplifts your heart and your soul. So we just certainly pray that. As you saw in the countdown video, it is Memorial Day today, and we will remember those men and women who have given their lives in active service in the U.S. military. And so, as John 15 said, there is no greater love than someone who lays down his life for a friend. And we have deep appreciation for each person and each family that has walked through that. It's hard to fathom what that must be like, but we just deeply appreciate their sacrifice for the freedoms that we experience every day. You know, if you want to comment someone that has walked through this or a family walking through this that we can pray for them, feel free to do that. I encourage each one of you to take a moment and some time today to reflect. Because as you reflect on their sacrifice, it should bring up a picture of Jesus and his sacrifice so that we can receive forgiveness of our sins. And maybe even you check in with your neighbors too as another action step. Just again, to see who around you is walking through this. And then it gives you a really open door of an opportunity to share the gospel with them too, and make that connection to Jesus' sacrifice on behalf of us. So our hearts really go out as well to others in our congregation who have lost loved ones this week. I know it was an honor to be a part of Carl's funeral, and the family just deeply appreciates everyone that participated in various ways or supported them through this and the cards and whatnot. But there's other families as well and that have gone through losing a loved one, and that can be very mixed emotions, and our hearts go out to you. A psalm I often recite is Psalm 34:18, where it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." And so we truly pray that each one of you experience the Lord's closeness in this time, his tender touch just carrying you in this time, and that you truly can rejoice and rest in his salvation. We also wanted to keep everyone in the loop of our reopening plan. Now, obviously, this can change as we go forward, but at this point, currently, we are in the red phase as a church. That means the campus is closed. We're encouraging small groups to meet online together and interact that way. And we're doing this because as an act of service to the broader community at this time. As we're excited to move forward to the yellow phase here shortly, we'll be talking about more about that in the weeks ahead. That would include groups of up to 25 that are meeting. And so we would see our campus open for small groups that way. We could potentially see small groups choosing to get together if they were comfortable with that. But in those settings, we would ask that the health requirements, recommendations continue to be upheld in those settings. And even as we look farther down the road to potentially the green phase and getting back on the campus in a broader group in some way, we're looking at developing a touchless service. And like I said before, continuing our online presence so that we can serve, everyone at the comfort level with where they're at. The idea of a dimmer switch, I think, captures what we want to do as we come onto the campus and maybe push that lighting up. We want to be positioned and ready to pull that back if we have to, for whatever reason, and be flexible that way. So that's what we're working on behind the scenes. So we really appreciate your prayers and your working with us in this. We believe the church is absolutely essential, and we believe the church is absolutely open right now because the church is people. It's not a building. It's people. It's you and I. So continue to reach out to one another, continue to care for one another, and just especially encourage one another in this time. So just as we go forward this morning, I'm going to do an opening prayer, and then we're going to have a song from Jay and Jaden. They're going to be singing Glorious Day, and there's this one phrase where he says, "He called my name, and I ran out of that grave." Yes! Oh, there's such hope there. So just really pray that encourages your heart today. We have our Triple C graduation highlight video that'll follow the song. And then Missy's going to come on in, our children's ministry director. She works alongside as best she can with the Triple C, Lisa and her team. And she's going to share a little bit more in the service here. So let me pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your incredible love, your incredible sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And we also thank you for the men and women that have given their lives for the freedoms that we experience in this land. God, our hearts go out to families and to loved ones at this time especially. And Lord, we just continue to ask your comfort over the families of our church family here, maybe of the lost loved ones this week too, and just ask that you would minister to them as only you can do. Go before the rest of this service, and may you be glorified in all of our actions, in all of our words, whether it's here today and in each day this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. Failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. When you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains would break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, oh, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Congratulations. love you bunches, and we wish you the best of luck next year. We know you're going to do awesome. You guys can rock it. I love you.
I love you too.
Have an awesome summer.
Hi guys, I am so glad I got to come back and say goodbye to everybody. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait to see what you do in the future. And just know God loves you, and we love you too. Take care. Bye.
Have a great summer and an even better year in kindergarten. Mwah.
Hi, I'm Julie, having you all in my class, and I just hope you have a great summer. We're going to miss you, and best wishes.
Congratulations, guys. You'll be great at kindergarten. We'll miss you. Bye.
I love you all. I miss you. I hope you have an amazing summer, and I can't wait to see some of you back here at Triple C next year. Bye!
Hi friends, I miss you. I am so glad that I got a chance to be part of your class, even though it was only for a short time. I'm so glad I got to know you all, and I love you, and I hope you all have a great summer. Bye.
Congratulations, friends. You are so loved, and we have missed you, and we know you're going to do great things. Don't forget that we love you, and Jesus loves you too.
We're getting set up today for Triple C graduation. You'll be seeing bubbles flying in the air, balloons. It's a windy day, and we are just about ready for families to come drive through. It's not the ideal way we wanted to do graduation this year, but under the circumstances, this is what we had to do. We would much rather give those kids hugs and love and show them just how much we care and say how proud we are of them. But we are just so excited to see their little smiles and how much they've grown. I want to thank Triple C families and East Swap Church and everyone who's come alongside of us along this time, and we just truly appreciate it. If you know anyone that's interested in joining Triple C, visit our website, triplecnursery.org, and we look forward to seeing everyone in the fall. Thank you.
Good morning, East Swamp Church. I'm Missy Fuentes, Director of East Swamp Kids, and it's so great to be here together. Even though it's through this online platform, we are still coming together in prayer and worship and the teaching of God's Word, so it's a good day. As you saw in that awesome video, Triple C had their drive-through graduation this past Tuesday and Wednesday evening. It was such a joy to participate. I'd like to thank our Triple C Director, Lisa Spence, and all the staff and volunteers that helped to make it special. My job was to stand at the front of the car line, and I was just hoping to check in with the parents, talk to them a little through their windows as they waited for the procession to start. My goal was to let them know that although this wasn't the end of preschool that they'd imagined, we were so happy to celebrate together and to let them know that Triple C and East Swamp Church were always here for them, especially in this time of great need. We wanted to be there if they needed anything at all. My intent was to be a blessing to them, but each family's kindness and their appreciation was such a gift to me. They were all so gracious, thankful for all they'd experienced at Triple C, and especially for the opportunity to celebrate with their kiddos and have closure for the year. They had the chance to say goodbye to the teachers that they adored and even wave at other classmates through the car windows. It blessed me immensely. Triple C continues to be a light to this community. So thank you to all of our Triple C families and to this church for supporting the great work that Triple C does. So I have a couple of announcements to share before we continue with our service. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome. We're so glad you're here and we want to get to know you better. The best way to find all the info and tools that you need is to go to www.eastswamp.org/next. Click on the top button that says Next Steps and enter your name and email address, and we'll get you on our weekly e-bulletin distribution. If you let us know you have kids, we'll send you info about our eSwamp Kids or student ministries. There's a place that you can fill in any needs you have or to submit prayer requests, which the staff will pray over. This Next Steps button is the best way to get connected into this family, and we'd love to have you. Below that Next Steps button on that eSwamp.org/next page is the Find a Neighbor campaign button. Click there to request help or to offer to help someone in this community. After that, you'll see the Hero of the Week campaign button. This is our new initiative to thank our essential workers. Click there to nominate your heroes, and each week, we will feature one randomly chosen hero from all the nominees. We will post a list of all our nominees in the e-bulletin each week so you can remember to pray for all of them. Now, I get the great pleasure of announcing our very first featured hero. I wish I had a drum roll. Okay, it's Cheryl Huntsberger. Yay! Congratulations, Cheryl, and thank you for faithfully serving our community. Cheryl, look for an email from Sabina this week, and she'll take care of getting you your prize, which is a gift card to a local business of your choice. So, since there's prizes involved, everyone, keep those nominations coming. Okay, we're still moving down the eSwamp.org next page, and the next button we come to says Giving. Clicking here walks you through the different ways you can give to support the ministry of eSwamp Church. We appreciate your generosity as it reflects the heart of God, who is so incredibly generous towards us. After giving, you'll see a button that says eSwamp Kids Newsletter. Parents, if you click on that, you'll have all kinds of tools to help you have meaningful faith conversations at home. There's weekly children's church curriculum, a printable page called Sermon Notes for Kids that your children can fill out while you watch church together. There's also additional resources from ParentQ to help you with any relevant parenting issues. The final button I want to mention on that page says Events and Registrations. Clicking there, you can see we have a blood drive coming up this coming Thursday, the 28th. And in order to adhere to necessary safety precautions, you must have an appointment. They cannot accept walk-ins at this blood drive, so please sign up by clicking that Events and Registrations tab. That's all the announcements I have for today. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Aaron will teach from 2 Timothy. After the sermon, Jay and Jaden will lead another worship song. I hope you enjoyed that first one and it was a blessing to you. I think they're really awesome, and I'm not just saying that because it's my husband and daughter and I live with them. But I'm saying that because I live with them in quarantine. Anyway, we hope it's a blessing. They're singing a song called My Testimony. And after that, we're going to have rally time with Trisha and Justin, which promises to be a blast. If you don't know what rally time is, it's our kids segment of worship where we sing and dance, play a game, and are introduced to our weekly Bible lesson. So make sure you stick around for that. Okay, church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Thank you for a new day, for your mercies that are new every morning. Today, we thank you for all the heroes among us, selflessly serving our community. Father, please keep these essential workers safe and give them much needed rest. Lord, please be with all of our families who are struggling, for those who've lost loved ones recently, those facing illnesses and hardships of all kinds. Your word says that in this world we will have troubles, but you have overcome the world, and help us to cling to that and live like overcomers. Jesus, be with Pastor Aaron as he preaches the message. Allow him to boldly speak your truth and help us to hear it and be changed by it so that we will look more like you, Lord Jesus. Father, as Jay and Jaden will sing later, our testimony is that you brought us from death to life, and you're still here working in our midst, and you promise that greater things are yet to come. Thank you for your presence and your power here with us, and please, Lord, bless the rest of our morning together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning, church. It's good to be back together again, even if it is online. So grateful that we have this opportunity to be together this morning. We're going to be finishing up our series in 2 Timothy this morning. I'm excited to see what Paul has to share with us through his words to Timothy. And it's weird how we've been walking through this letter at the time that we have, considering that Paul was quarantined when he was writing this letter. And we've been studying it as we've been quarantined, so it seemed incredibly fitting to walk through this book together. Now, talking about quarantine, I remember back, I don't know how many weeks ago it was now, it seems like forever, when this quarantine began. And when it started and we realized the kids were going to be home from school, my wife had this idea that she was going to buy everyone in the family new bikes. She was racking her brain as to how we could keep the kids busy and keep them outside, and she thought, this was the best way to do it. So she went ahead and bought bikes, and along with the bikes that she bought for the kids, she bought them for us as well. So for the very first time since probably like sixth grade, I own my own bike. And the idea of riding again was really awesome to me. I thought, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to ride miles and miles and clear my head, and this will be great. So I remember that first ride that I took out. And unfortunately, the ride didn't go as planned. Okay, it's incredible how much harder it is for a grown man to ride a bike after not riding a bike for 20-some odd years. And so as I head out on this ride, I'm feeling good. And then I come to the most innocent looking of hills and start to climb it, only to realize this is not going to work today. I turn around, and that first trip out fell like 20 miles short of the expectations that I had for this incredible ride. I was just too tired from climbing these small hills all around my home. Now, since then, I've adjusted my expectations a bit, but mostly I've changed my mindset. And here's what I mean by that. After that first trip, where I barely got anywhere, I was determined to make it farther than I did before. And so I head out for another ride, and this time I have a totally different mindset heading into it. And I come to the bottom of that hill that just days before caused me to take a few stops to catch my breath. And I decided at the bottom of it, I made up my mind that I was going to make it up that hill no matter what. I was going to do it, and I was going to go farther that day. I was going to push myself. And so, like the little engine that could, I think I canned my way all the way up that hill. And as I was climbing and I got to the top, I thought, wow, it's amazing how much of a difference your mindset makes when you set out to do something. I could have very easily determined on that first trip out that I would never ride like I used to, and I'll just put it away in the garage and forget this ever happened. I want you this morning to imagine yourself faced with your own bike situation. Maybe it is a bike ride up a hill. Maybe it's some other challenge that you don't feel well prepared for. You're not sure that you could actually accomplish it. I want you to get that challenge in your mind. Okay, and as you do, this challenge that seems maybe a bit too difficult for you, I want you to step back and I want you to assess it. How would you feel to face that challenge? How would you approach it? How would you cope with the difficulty of it? Now, in a psychological study done on mindset by an expert, Carol Dweck, she found that when we are faced with a situation that seems too hard for us, each of us will fall into one of two categories as to how our mindset either helps us or hurts us. She says there's two mindsets. One is called a fixed mindset. And this is the person who's already determined what they can and can't do, and they will go no further than what they know how to do. They've maybe experienced failure in the past, and so they're not going to try to push themselves. And then, she said, there's another group called the growth mindset. And these are people who see a challenge and take it head on, realizing that they just might be able to push through and accomplish something they hadn't before. And she came to these two mindsets through doing a study on a group of 10-year-old kids. She said a bunch of kids in a room, and she gave them problems that were slightly too hard for them. Some of them reacted in a shockingly positive way. And they'd come in and they'd see the problem. They'd be like, oh, I was hoping that this would be a challenge. I love a challenge. Others would come in and say, oh, I was hoping that this would be informative. They understood that their abilities could be developed, that they could continue to grow. And so she called these people the growth mindset group. But then there was another group of students. A group of students who, when they saw the problem, the challenge in front of them, they felt it was too much, and they saw it, and it was tragic, it was catastrophic. From their fixed mindset perspective, their intelligence had been up for judgment at one point, and they failed. So instead of luxuriating in the power of the yet, of what they possibly could do, they were gripped in the tyranny and fear of now and failing. And as she did this study, she went on to push those with fixed mindsets to change their thoughts. And she said this, mindsets are just beliefs. They're powerful beliefs, but they're just something in your mind, and you can change your mind. A changed mindset is possible. And often it's necessary in order to do what needs to be accomplished. And maybe you've experienced that. I did in my climb up that hill, and surely you've experienced it as you've approached challenges that seem too difficult and you pushed through because your mindset was set on getting through it. As I read Paul's closing words here this morning, it becomes clear that Paul had changed his mindset on many things. Things that he didn't necessarily once believe. And this change in mindset was necessary in order for him to accomplish the task that God had set before him. It was necessary in order for him to follow Jesus as he was called to. So I want us to see this morning what exactly these changes in mindset were and how we might also need to adjust our mindset. Join with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 14 this morning. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. But beware of him, Timothy. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In this final passage here, I see Paul's mindset has changed quite a bit over his life in order to be able to accomplish what God had for him. And I believe that we too could use a change in our mindset. I see a change in Paul's mindset in three ways this morning. These are the three ways that he has shifted in how he thinks. Number one, he has changed in what he can expect from people. Second, what to expect from God. And third, what God desires most for our lives. First, Paul had an understanding of what to expect from the people around him. Shaped by the truths of Scripture, he came to understand the wickedness of human hearts. He was familiar with the words of Isaiah, which said that the human heart was corrupt, and apart from God, there was not one who did good. Now, this flies in the face of how other people believe and other people's mindsets. There's a lot of people that fall in the category that comes from the diary of Anne Frank, who says, you know, I believe at the heart of each person, they are good down inside. Paul's understanding of Scripture led him to a very different place, that all apart from God were evil and that the human heart is wicked and deceitful. Paul had a clear understanding of what he could expect from people. And he also had a clear understanding of how he was to respond as a follower of Jesus. Some examples of that we find in this passage. First, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. And he says, this guy did us great harm. He did me great harm because he opposed the message of the gospel. Now, the term great harm here refers to being treated with evil or to be shown many instances of ill treatment. Paul was truly experiencing persecution. But Paul wasn't surprised by this. Why? Because he had experienced a change in mindset shaped by the words of Jesus, who said this in John 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Paul had this crazy shift because at one point in life, he was the one doing the persecuting of followers of Jesus. And now he's experiencing being persecuted. But he wasn't surprised by it because his mind had been shaped by Jesus' teachings. Now, before we start to affiliate ourselves with Paul here, let's be clear as to why he was being persecuted and understand what persecution is. Persecution is a suffering that a believer experiences because they are preaching the message of the gospel. Paul was being persecuted because of the message he preached. He wasn't being persecuted and hated because he was a jerk. He wasn't being persecuted because of things he was doing apart from God's word. He was being persecuted and he was hated because people saw Jesus in him and they didn't like that. It's possible for us to experience persecution today. Often we don't know what that means in our context. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ all throughout the world who are experiencing suffering because they are promoting the gospel of Jesus and following him with all their hearts. May we never stop praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. It is possible for us to experience persecution here, and maybe some of you do as you speak the gospel and live out what you believe in your schools and in your workplace. But let's not mistake persecution for other kind of suffering. Let's not mistake being quarantined and wearing a mask for persecution, okay? And let's not mistake persecution for being disliked because we are jerks and there's no shred of kindness or grace in us. Okay, persecution comes from the message of the gospel preached. The kind of persecution that Paul experienced was the same kind of persecution that Jesus experienced. And it came because of the message of the gospel. I had the privilege of standing outside this week around the grave of Pastor Carl as people shared stories of his life. Pastor Carl was a beloved member of our church and had an incredible testimony of preaching the gospel, specifically in India. And as we were standing out there, a letter was read by his son that just told of the incredible kindness that Pastor Carl had for the people in India. Stories of how he would care for and serve them. Stories of his kindness and love. But there was also a story shared of how at one point in his life, he was taken away by five Hindu radicals who beat him with bamboo poles, telling him to stop preaching the good news of Jesus. Pastor Carl walked out of that place beaten up and went on to continue to preach the gospel. Pastor Carl, like Paul, experienced persecution for Jesus' name's sake. See, persecution comes from an offensive message. The message of the gospel is offensive. It's offensive to those who want to do things their own way. How narrow-minded, right, to say that there is one way to heaven. And that road must go through Jesus. That is the truth of Scripture, but that rubs people the wrong way. The message of the gospel continues to be offensive for the very same reasons. Persecution comes when we preach an offensive gospel. It doesn't come as we are an offensive, graceless individual. We preach an offensive message, but that doesn't mean we are called to be offensive as people. Paul experienced persecution because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul's response to this suffering and this ill treatment that he received, specifically here from Alexander the coppersmith, was this: you know what? I'm going to leave it to God to respond accordingly. In Romans, Paul writes about this very kind of response by saying, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay him,' says the Lord." Is this how we respond when someone opposes the message of the gospel in our lives? Or do we try to argue with them and fight back? Or maybe do we just disregard the person and push them out of our life? Paul says, leave the revenge to God. And you do your best to live at peace and to do what is honorable. He goes on to say how he's been treated poorly by others. He said, everyone has deserted me. Everyone deserted him at his first defense hearing. What a surprise. Okay, there were probably a number of members of the church there in Rome who could have come to support Paul. None of them came to his defense. Everyone was too scared for their own lives. But maybe even more surprising is his response to those who deserted him. May it not be charged against them. What an incredibly gracious response. A response that should be true of all believers. Paul knew that doing life with imperfect people would lead to imperfect and even disappointing results and relationships. That's why he had to remind the church of Corinth that love is patient and it's kind and it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it doesn't insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful. And it doesn't rejoice in wrongdoings. This was him putting those words to practice. And this needs to be the practice of all of us who are believers in Jesus when we are wronged by others. We are not responsible for someone else's actions, but we are responsible for how we respond to them. And Paul says, how should you respond when you're treated wrongly? Leave revenge to God. He will take care of it perfectly. And as far as it depends on you, seek to live at peace with everyone, responding with grace and love. Paul had a shift in his mindset in regards to what he could expect from people and how he should respond. He also learned what he could expect of God. He said, but the Lord stood by me when everyone else had abandoned him. He says that through it all, the Lord stood by him. I love that Paul uses the word stood because it gives us a more tangible feel of God being present with us. But his choice of words there should actually send us back into a study of Acts again. In Acts 22, we read how Paul was in Jerusalem and he was preaching. He so wanted the leaders of his people to come to understand the truth of Scripture and who Jesus is. And so he went back and he preached. But as he preached, a violent uprising took place. And they came at Paul, so much so that Scripture says there was fear that Paul would be torn to pieces. And so some of the people there saw this and they went in by force and took him out of the crowd and sent him back to the barracks so that he'd be safe from being killed. This was one of the darkest times in Paul's life. One, he was incredibly disappointed, I would imagine. He had hopes of convincing the leadership of his people of the truth of the gospel, and this had gone up in smoke. He also feared that that vision he had of going on to preach the gospel in Rome was just a pipe dream at this point. And so he sat there disappointed on top of being bloodied and black and blue and beat up. Sat there in the Tower of Antonia in desperate need of assurance. And in Acts 23:11, we find out that he got it. Acts 23:11 says, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. Jesus was present with Paul in prison. And this reminds us of how God is present with us at all moments, reminding us of his words in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's a really cool story that comes from a man named John Bunyan. John Bunyan was the author of an incredibly famous book, Pilgrim's Progress, which he wrote while he was in jail. John Bunyan spent a good number of years in jail. If you ever want to read a really crazy biography, check out John Bunyan's biography. He was sent to jail for 3 months. And at the end of his 3 months, they were going to let him go free. All they said was, you just can't preach the gospel anymore. And John said, I'm not doing that. Okay, I'll just continue to preach the gospel through my jail cell wall. And so they decided to send him back to prison. He spent 12 years in jail. And on one occasion, while John was in jail, he was visited by a man who came running in. Okay, I would imagine he's out of breath. And he says to John, friend, the Lord sent me to you. I've looked for you in half the prisons in London. And John sat there and looked at him and said, I don't think the Lord sent you to me, because if he had, you would have come to this prison first, because God knows I've been here for years. John knew what Paul knew and what we need to know, that the Lord is beside us. He knows where you are even today, even if you're hiding it from everyone else. Paul was alone, but he wasn't alone. Even when everyone else had deserted him, Paul had Jesus, and that was more than enough for him. David Gusick wrote this quote that's kind of been mind-blowing to me this week. He said, better to be in jail with the Lord than to be in heaven without him. And I've really been thinking about that quote, better to be in jail with the Lord than to be in heaven without him. Because I think it really applies to the moment in time that we live in. And I wonder if maybe your feelings on this quarantine are similar. we need to ask ourselves the questions, what do we want more? Do we want our freedoms back? Do we want to go back to normal as we knew it? Or do we want to experience the ministering presence of the Lord? This is a good word for us right now, because too often we think the best thing for Paul would have been to have freedom from that jail cell, when really the best thing for Paul was experiencing Jesus with him in the jail cell. In that moment, the courage infused in Paul by the ministering presence of Jesus in his darkest moment of suffering seems to be exactly what Paul needed in that moment and to continue to press on and preach in Rome. We often demand that Jesus deliver us out of our circumstances, when really what we see more often in Scripture is he wants to meet us right in them. What might it be that God wants to do in your life right now? Is he preparing you? Is he strengthening you so that you can fully proclaim the message of the gospel? Maybe our prayers need to start being shaped in that direction. Maybe our prayers need to stop being for life to go back to normal. Paul's life never went back to normal. And yet, he experienced the joy of the Lord and continued to be used in a far greater purpose than that of finding comfort in this life. This is the desire that God has for your life, to preach the gospel, whatever the context may be that you find yourself living in. This is the reason for the strengthening that Paul experienced in his life. And this is the reason why God strengthens us, not to get back to life as we once knew it, but to preach the good news of Jesus so that it is fully proclaimed. And with that, Paul begins to close his letter with this phrase that can sum up all of his teachings. And shows this mindset shift that has taken place. And now he shows what it means and what God desires most for his life. He closes with these words, "To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This was the single desire of Paul and should be the single desire of all followers of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon wrote this in his commentary here. "I take it that the Christian should not have 20 wishes, but only one. He may desire to see his family brought up well, but only that to God may be glory forever. He may wish for prosperity in business, but only so far as it may help him promote this, to whom be glory forever. He may desire to attain more gifts and more graces, but it should only be that to him may be glory forever. This one thing I know, Christian, you are not acting as you ought to do when you are moved by any other motive than the one motive of your Lord's glory." Is this your mindset when you wake up each morning? That God may be glorified in your speech, in the way you treat your enemies, in the way you care for your family, in the way you act when no one is watching, in the way you worship, in the way you trust God, in the way you give thanks. Our motive for every single thing we think, do, or say should be to bring glory to God. And in this, we will be able to carry out this message that Paul had for Timothy. We will faithfully guard the deposit, protecting and promoting the gospel. So how do we go about changing our mindset? The mindset that Paul has here was not always true of him. At one time in his life, Paul was chained to the law and he looked to his works for salvation. On top of that, he persecuted anyone who lived and taught contrary to that message. But when Paul met Jesus and saturated himself in his word, his mind was transformed. And Paul calls us to do the same in Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't do what the world is doing. Don't just simply go along with them. Don't believe everything they say, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, by being steeped in the message of God's word. In other words, have your mindset changed by the word of God. That's what Paul experienced. In fact, we can see this very truth in Paul's writing this morning. If you take these few verses that we just read here this morning and hold them up to Psalm 22, I think you'll be amazed at the comparison. Because what you'll find, and I would challenge you to do this week at some point, hold this passage up to Psalm 22, and what you find is that Paul was so entrenched in Scripture that he actually sounds like he's plagiarizing the words of David in the Psalms. Paul seems to be meditating so much so on Scripture that what he is saying sounds exactly like the words he's been meditating on. I'll show you just a few comparisons here on the screen. Verse 16 of Paul's writing, "All deserted me," alludes to Psalm 22:1. "Why have you forsaken me?" Paul says, "No one came to stand by me." David said, "There's none to help." Verse 17, "I was rescued from the lion's mouth." David in Psalm 22:21, "Save me from the mouth of the lion." Paul, verse 17, "And all the Gentiles might hear it." David in Psalm 22:27, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord." Verse 18 of Paul's writing, "Bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." David in Psalm 22:28, "Kingship belongs to the Lord." See, Paul was so filled with the word of God, so saturated in it, meditating on it, that it is what spilled out of his mouth from the overflow of his heart and shaped and changed his mindset. So this morning we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have a fixed mindset when it comes to your life and God's work in it? Do you believe that it's up to you to manufacture goodness and mercy? Do you feel the need to posture yourself for importance in front of people and God? Or do you believe that even when it seems impossible, that God is working for your good? That God is near, that God is good. Even if your experiences never change, even if things never go back to normal, or even if things get worse, God wants to change our thoughts and mind through his word. He wants to be our hope. He is the gospel. He is the good news. Everything that we experience here on earth passes through his hands and is meant to make us look like Jesus. As we conclude this letter this morning, the challenge that Paul has had for Timothy and in turn for us has consistently been to guard the deposit, promote the gospel, and protect its message. This cannot be accomplished unless we have changed our mindset, having it transformed by the word of God. May it be true of us that we are so saturated with Scripture, entrenched and rooted in it, that it overflows out of our hearts to our mouths and shapes our mind to make us into the image and likeness of Jesus. Let's pray. God, our prayer is that today we would look more like Jesus than we did yesterday. And we've come to understand that this happens through having our minds transformed by your word. So God, we pray that you give us a desire and a love for it. That you would transform our minds and conform them not to the things of this world, but conform them to you, Jesus. God, we thank you that in your word we can have a clear understanding of what we can expect from people, a clear understanding of what we can expect from you, and a clear understanding of what you expect of us in this life. God, we pray that you truly would be glorified in us, that everything we think, say, and do, whether it be in public or in private, bring glory to your great name, God. So that others might look in and see it and be drawn to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in his precious name. Amen.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, 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 oh. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son, and Father. Our God will finish what he started. Our God will finish what he started. Oh, this is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, 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 oh. If I'm not dead, you're not done. The greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. The greater things are still to come. I still believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. The greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. The greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, 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 oh.